Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
Happy Monday, and I've got great news.
What's your great news?
Little House on the Prairie is getting a reboot.
No, that's not good news.
That's great news.
No, they always screw everything up.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be great.
The Lord of the Rings reboot that they did on Amazon Prime, horrible. The reboot of the Chronicles of Narnia that's coming out, it's going to be bad.
You haven't seen it yet, though. Yeah, normally that's the case. And in fact, all the Disney reboots that we've been watching, the live action,
yeah,
not good enough.
There's a difference even between not good enough. There's going to be some transgender kid in Little House on the Prairie.
I'm looking at the photo, and it looks pretty authentic. There's a cabin, and there's a husband and a wife and three kids. That's pretty consistent so far.
Well, for the main family. Yeah, but
I guess so.
I'm not holding my breath, man.
They're calling it a fresh perspective on the Ingalls family journey.
See?
Oh, it gets worse. A transformed adaptation of Laura Ingalls Wilder's semi-autobiographical novels.
Yeah, I bet it is an adaptation, a transformed adaptation.
Wow. She'd not even asked if they could use our Transform Conference titling.
They didn't. That's unacceptable.
I'm going to go to ChatGPT and ask it to draft up an email.
So your good news is really bad news.
I wanted to believe,
wasn't
until I brought it up to you that now I don't think it's good news anymore.
My cynicism is here to crush your dreams.
Thank you.
Yes.
Keeping us all grounded.
This is not Evangelion. This is the opposite.
Mm, yeah, you're right. It does say a transformed adaptation.
Yep.
A fresh perspective.
Yep.
All of those are signals. Oh, it's just not good, man.
Yeah.
Now I don't want to do this podcast.
Okay. Then let's quit. No, it is Monday. Did you get more sleep? It's your day off. Since it's a spring-forward type situation?
I hope I did.
Yeah.
That is my hope. That is my desire. I hope I went to bed at the right time.
You looked really ragged yesterday. I'm not going to lie.
I sure did. I just felt it. My heart was not in it.
And when you snapped and just broke the guitar on stage, I thought, man, how are we going to recover from this?
That was an expensive snap, too.
It was. Yeah. And it was David's guitar.
I know. It was unexpected because he's not even playing.
He's not.
It was just like... I left the stage. He went to his car, got his guitar out, brought it back to the stage. That said,
and you just smashed it to bits and bobs.
And you all waited for me. That was the best part.
We were all waiting on pins and needles. We didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, that's great.
And people wanted to know, though. They were like, are we charismatic now? Is this tongues that he's speaking?
And I understand the confusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which tongue should not produce.
Yeah. Steve was clutching the back, playing the Jeopardy theme in the background while we were all waiting for you to get back. But
right on.
If you weren't there yesterday, none of that happened.
No.
Yeah. You missed it, but none of that happened. Yeah, we're
edited
just,
out of the live stream.
We're just joshing.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know that there's anything much more of note about today. Monday, the 11th of March. Oh, wait, no, 10th of March. Because tomorrow is notable because it's my son's 16th birthday.
Oh, wow. Yep.
So today's the 10th.
What are you guys going to do about that?
He's got a baseball game, actually.
You're going to go to his baseball game?
No, because we've got community group.
So. That's one way to do it. Or you'll celebrate it after the fact, of course.
Of course,
you'll do something cool. What's the agenda?
My in-laws are coming to town, so we're going to celebrate with family.
Cool.
He's wanting to get out to Topgolf and do that at some point to celebrate. So
yeah, Topgolf.
I think we'll go do that. And he's got his driver's test later this month to get his official license. And yep.
And then it's game changed once he gets his license.
Yeah, but we're not going to do the thing. And if you've done it, great. Good on you. I'm glad you did. But I'm not going to take the picture and post it on social media and be like, look out world, because we got a new driver. Like, I feel like it's like taking the Instagram photo of your quiet time and posting it and being like, look at us, we have coffee and our Bibles together, we're so spiritual. Like, it's okay. Yeah,
I'm gonna go delete that post I just put out there.
Good, you should, because I don't know, I'm not even ornery today. I don't know why all the cynicism is coming out. I just like, we get it, your kid's driving and it's bad news for everybody else on the road. We don't like Facebook, cool. We'll like it. I'll like it for you if you want to do that. But don't look for Josh on the picture because it's not going to happen.
All right.
But what's funny is some of the parents will go in because they're holding up their licenses. So the ones with attention to detail will redact the license.
Yeah,
they'll block it out and stuff.
You ought to, man. That's just, dude, if you Google yourself right now, if you're a good Googler, sometimes you can't be too generic about it. But if you Google yourself, there's a lot of information out there of you, all of us on the web.
Yeah.
So I get that. I don't want my stuff out there either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Let's jump into our DBR. And
let's finish the book of Numbers.
Finish it. We'll finish counting. All done. Numbers 35. These are the laws regarding the Levitical cities and the six cities of refuge. So 48 of them, I believe, all together. because the six cities of refuge are a subset of the Levitical cities. And so there's 42 that are not cities of refuge, and then six of them which are cities of refuge. Main part of this chapter, though, deals just with that. What to do with a man guilty of manslaughter as compared to a man who commits premeditated murder. And so that's what the cities of refuge were all about. If somebody committed manslaughter, took somebody's life on accident, or something happened to cause that, then there were these cities of refuge to which the guilty party could flee, and he was protected there until everything could be sorted out. And if it was found that this was unintentional, that this was not an act of premeditated murder, then he was instructed to stay in the Levitical city, the city of refuge there, until the high priest, the current high priest, died. When the current high priest died, then he was free to return to his home without any concern. But until that happened, if he left the city of refuge, then the person who was the next of kin to the person that he killed accidentally could take his life in vengeance. So interesting. I think the most applicable thing for us today, because we don't have cities of refuge, is just the note of the fact that murder, premeditated murder, meant the forfeiture of one's own life. That was something that is a biblical precept. And I think that's why, as Christians, we need to be okay with capital punishment. We need to be okay with the death penalty today. There are grounds for it to take place, and there are times when it is appropriate for the death penalty to be enacted against someone.
Yeah, that begins in Genesis chapter 9, and God tells that to Noah, right? If someone sheds man's blood, by man shall his own blood be shed. But on top of that, I think what's interesting is that you see here a definition between what we even identify today as manslaughter versus murder, and it really does hinge upon the heart of the one who commits the act, whether there was intent behind the act or whether there is any reasonable understanding of the scenario that says, oh, it was truly an accident. So I think that's a helpful distinction. Not all killing is murder, and therefore we need to weigh that with an even hand. Justice, as God defines it, means making some really careful slices in the way that we adjudicate someone's guilt or innocence when it comes to taking someone's life. I think about this all the time when I'm driving and I'm tempted to, or either in some way I'm fiddling with my phone and I think, oh no, I got to be careful, because it's easy to not pay attention for just a brief moment and suddenly something can happen. And man, I would feel awful if anything happened because of my brief lapse of attention to what I'm doing. And I think that's a good example, a good case study, where if someone were to run somebody over or commit some kind of accidental murder, that would be a manslaughter. And to what degree it is, well, of course, it's dependent upon the course. But my point is, God makes these distinctions for us, and we ought to do the same. Being a good Bible thinker is making careful, clear-minded distinctions that are based on the Word.
Yeah, I think that's a helpful clarification on that. I think about that all the time driving through my neighborhood, because so many people park the cars on the side of the street.
Oh yeah, someone could just run out.
Yeah, it drives me nuts when people speed down my road. I'm the old guy that stands outside on my and I stare people down, or I'll walk out into the street. If somebody's driving too fast, I'll walk out into the street while my kids are out there and force them to stop.
Yeah.
Because they're just driving like lunatics, and they don't realize I care about my kids, but also if they hit somebody and kill them, their life is done. Their life is over.
Oh yeah.
And yeah,
imagine living with that guilt.
To gain what? To gain 3 seconds on your commute home? Come on, people. Let's think about it.
Yeah, I find a lot of young people do that, at least on my block, both here and back in California. There was always a young person who would speed down the block. I'm like, my kids are out there. And granted, they know better not to run in the street. A kid is a kid. The ball falls on the street.
Totally.
They run out. There's always those things. So just be careful with that. As a Christian, we ought to be the kind of people that are sober-minded enough to consider what possibilities might show up in front of us. That's wise, and that's prudent living. And man, that ought to be characteristic of us.
Yeah. In fact, I knew somebody back in California who had that very scenario happen to her, and she wasn't speeding. She was going the speed limit down the road, but the cars were parked, and this little boy ran out in front of her.
Mm. Was she able to stop in time?
No.
Oh, why do you tell this story?
Because it's indicative. Because it takes it out of the ethereal and makes it something
this
that actually
a sad podcast.
Actually happened.
I don't want to listen to this one.
Anyways. And she wasn't charged with a crime because they investigated and found she was driving the speed limit and everything else. So even
so sad.
Then,
so
you know,
sad.
It's just, yeah, it's terrifying.
The crushing weight that you would have to bear for the rest of your
life. The rest of your life. Yeah.
I don't know if I could do that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree.
So chapter 34 of Numbers, the point is drive slowly.
Chapter 30. And chapter 35.
And 35. Oh, 35. Yeah.
Chapter 35. Yeah. Is drive slowly. That's an applicational point that I'm sure Moses had.
I think that's what he had in mind.
Did he? He's like, listen, when you're in your chariot, be careful. Be careful. Drive the speed limit. Anyhow. Yeah. Numbers 36. We come back to the daughters of Zelophehad, and they're back And there's a concern being raised by some of the members of their tribe. And now that they're about to take the land and their tribe is going to get a portion of the land, the concern is that if these daughters marry somebody from another tribe, that the other tribe is going to gain the land that belongs to their tribe. And so it raises up the chain of command there, and it's decided that if there are any women who have an allotment in the land, that they were only to marry within their tribe so that the land would not be changed from one tribe to another. And that's a general principle that comes out of this chapter, is there's a law that's put in place that tribes cannot exchange land with one another. So that goes back to what you were saying, I think, in yesterday's episode about the tribes that were unhappy with what they had. Not that probably all of three people listening to this might care, but the NHL trade deadline just happened.
Oh,
and yeah, I know you're fascinated. Yeah. And the Stars actually got one of the best guys out there, the Dallas Stars.
Gretzky.
No, Mikko Rantanen. But anyways,
second guess.
There was no trading of land. It's not like you could say, hey, we want to give up this portion of land in order to gain this from you. That was the law that God had said, this shall be your boundaries, and this is what belongs to you. And Moses said, this is what it's going to be, period, end of story. There's not going to be land that transfers from one tribe to another tribe. And this was just a case study with the daughters of Zelophehad.
Man, I love the fact that Moses takes, several lines here. He spills ink on these gals. Again, in verse 10, it says here, the daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord commanded Moses. I love it. And then he names them. He honors them so deeply by saying, look, here's what the result was. And these girls did exactly what they were supposed to do. And they were told, hey, you got to marry in your tribe now. And I could imagine them saying, but I was looking at this dude from Levi, and he was really cute, and this other guy from the other tribe of Ephraim. And they're like, all right, we'll do it. If that's what's necessary for the good of the community, for the propagation of our father's name, then so be it. Man, I love this because they show contentedness. They show obedience. These girls are rock stars.
Yeah, no, for sure they are. I agree, man. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. We see this so often in scripture. We're going to see it with David's mighty men too, where scripture recognizes people that are bit players by and large, but list them in God's word and their names are recorded there. And that's super cool to think about. So.
God keeps our names.
He does keep our names written in his book of life.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me pray and then we'll be done with this episode. God, thanks for these realities and reminders. Even as we read Numbers 35 and think about driving, it's crazy how your word is useful and profitable for us today. It's sufficient for all things. And if we are paying attention to your word, we can draw principles out of it that do apply to our lives in different ways and capacities. So we're grateful for those things. And certainly we want to pray that you'd keep us from any foolishness, any split second decision that could cost us our lives, that could cause us to carry a weight around for the rest of our lives that no one should have to carry or desire to carry. That's for sure. God, help us to be wise as we conduct ourselves in this world and careful about how we conduct ourselves. And so we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Keep reading your Bibles. Tune in again tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
Hopefully for a happier edition. We'll see you then.
Bye. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast. This is a ministry of Compass Bible Church in North Texas. You can find out more information about our church at compassntx.org. We would love for you to leave a review, to rate, to share this podcast on whatever platform you happen to be listening on, and we will catch you again tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Bible Podcast. Bye.